Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tennell, and tonight we have an exciting guest on. We have Kevin James Bennett on tonight, and I just wanted to say that my sister abandoned us for the Fast and Furious 5, so replacing her tonight is Ms. Jennifer James. Thank you, Jennifer, for joining us.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you. Hi, everybody.
Hi, and Jennifer, you have some announcements for us, but before we get to the announcements, I just wanted to say, because I see the phone lines, they're full already, and I just wanted to let you all know, I know some of you may not be at your computers, may not even be home, but we have to keep the phone lines open so that we can get callers through. Right now I'm okay with it, but later some of the calls may be dropped if the lines stay full. So if you don't mind, if you have a computer nearby, please listen from your computer and not on the phone. If you can, I would appreciate it. Also, just want to let everyone know that Suzanne Patterson normally comes on at the beginning of the show to do her HD segment, but she'll be on toward the end tonight, so stick around to hear Suzanne. And I'll turn it over to you, Jennifer.
Alrighty, for beauty news this week, there's some really exciting things going on in the beauty industry, as you all know. The whole humanitarian philanthropy thing, I mean, it's really, really spread, you know, from the basic communities that we all live in. Everybody's getting into the game, the big retailers, the huge companies, and everybody wants everybody to know about all the good stuff going around. So Beauty Talk is having its part in announcing, if you don't already know, we all love the fabulous activist, philanthropist, mother, beautiful person, and all-around great, lovely, lovely, lovely Hollywood diva of ours, Holly Robinson-Peake. She recently received an honor for exemplifying the humanitarian ideal by an organization called Professional Beauty Association. And it was presented to her at the 21st Annual North American Hairstyling Award this year. So applause to Holly Robinson-Peake for everything she does and all of her love for it. I would whistle, but I don't want to blow everybody's ears off. Well, congratulations to Holly Robinson-Peake. Really, really proud of her. We love her. Also, Ms. Joy Randall of Charlotte, North Carolina. She's known as Flawless Makeup, at Flawless Makeup on Twitter also. She is having a class, so for all the makeup artists out there interested in more education in the Charlotte, North Carolina area, Tuesday, September 14th, she's having a class, and she's giving you the opportunity to receive $5 off the admittance fee. So for more information about Flawless Makeup Art, you can email her at flawlessmakeupart@gmail.com for information on Joy Randall's current makeup upcoming class, September 14th. In Charlotte, North Carolina. That's exciting. Congratulations.
Now, Jennifer, do you happen to know what type of makeup class it is?
Actually, the information I have here, it says it's a flawless makeup.
Okay.
It just says,
flawless.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, of course, our illustrious guest, Mr. Kevin James Bennett, is doing a three-day workshop. It's going a three-day workshop called the Bulletproof Bride, and it is going to be October 16th through the 18th, sponsored by Elevate Artists in Washington, D.C. For more information, you can contact the fabulous Kat Aragon at info@elevateartists.com. That's artists with an S on the end. And you can go to www.elevateartists.com to get more information on the Bulletproof Bride, 3-day workshop with Mr. Kevin James Bennett, October 16th through 18th in Washington, D.C.
Doesn't that sound horrible? Doesn't that sound bulletproof? Love that. Go ahead.
And last but not least, Beauty Talk, woo-hoo, the web series, baby, episode 1. Come on, check it out. Go to youtube.com/illusionscosmetics. Check out the first episode. Check out the sizzle reel, and you can check out the Beauty Talk fan page on Facebook. Follow
Beauty
Talk.
Also showing on Vimeo/Beauty Talk.
Oh, Vivo, V-E-V-O?
V-I-L-E-O.
Oh, gotcha, gotcha. I didn't have that part. And make sure you join the Beauty Talk fan page on Facebook and the Illusions Cosmetics group page. And don't forget to follow Beauty Talk on Twitter @beauty_talk. Pow! There's your beauty news.
Pow, thank you.
That was a lot, honey.
I know, wasn't it? And I just want to quickly mention the call-in number for tonight is 914-803-4399. Again, that's 914-803-4399. And last week, I'm not sure if we mentioned it on the show, but I know on Twitter and Facebook we were announcing that we were looking for interns. And based on all of the submissions that we received, we've chosen two people, and one is Carmen Harris. She's in Atlanta, Georgia, and Sharon Tina Brightman, and she's in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So just wanted to make that announcement. Welcome to Team Beautiful Ladies.
Congratulations.
That's it for the
election. Congratulations. Yay.
Yay. Now, our wonderful guest tonight has been in this beautiful business for over 20 years.
So must you say that?
Yeah, that is a wonderful
thing. Must you tell them how long, please?
Okay. You know what? I'm not going to tell them anything else. I'm going to leave it right on over to you. Take it over, Kevin.
No, I'm just like so happy to be here with so many people that I adore, that I follow on Facebook and I follow on Twitter. And let me tell you, that sizzle reel on YouTube, fun. I'm kind of hoping when I'm in D.C. for the Bulletproof Bride workshop that you guys come out and, you know, videotape us, because I'd love to play with you guys. It would be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We would love to play with you as well.
And, Jen, I totally apologize for breaking in before, but, I mean, more people are giving me flack about calling this a Bulletproof Bride, because they're like, bullets, brides, oh, my God. I was like, honey, it's about the makeup. Y'all need to chill. Just relax. It's
right,
about the makeup.
Relax.
It's not, there are no gangsters showing up with submachine guns. It's not The Sopranos. It is not The Godfather. Relax. So, okay.
Thank you.
So now that I've clarified that, so how are you lovely ladies?
I'm fabulous,
wonderful.
Kevin. Excited to listen to this show and absorb all of this good stuff you're going to have for us.
And
I'm like,
just want to say thank you to Kat Aragon for your help in all of this tonight. Thanks.
Okay. We love Miss Kat. We love Miss Kat. Miss Kat works hard for her money. She does. She's a fabulous makeup artist. She is a workshop organizer for crazy people like me and, you know, Lottie Stattered and who else is going to be showing up? There's a whole host at Elevate Artists in the next couple of months. There is a host of amazing artists. I am so honored to be part of this list. Just really, really great people coming to the D.C. area to do seminars at Elevate Artists. So, I mean, it's really, really exciting. And we don't get to come and, like, play with you guys for, you know, days at a time very often, because it's our schedules are kind of sporadic because we have to make a living, too.
Right.
But no, it's very exciting because, I mean, I looked at the schedule of people that are coming in the next couple of months, and I was like, wow, I want to come back. I also noticed something very interesting. There's a lovely gentleman that's going to be on the show on the 22nd of October. My baby Sam Fine. He's the most lovely, 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 generous, wonderful, beautiful man that is like sick, crazy talented.
Yes,
he was on the show last October.
Oh, that's the last. Oh my God, I didn't look at the nine. Damn. Well, call him. I'm getting back.
Yeah, make it.
Okay,
Andrew.
So,
we'll have to bring him back.
Okay, I'm not clear enough. Time to go get a martini so I can get a little more focus. No, I'm sorry. So, guys, what do you want to talk about tonight? There's so much. I mean, I'm like the black hole of makeup information. I mean, excuse me, I'm a huge treasure chest of makeup information.
Well, you know, there's so many things that we could talk to you about. And, you know, you won 2 Emmy Awards. You're a public speaker and educator. You've kind of done almost everything, right?
Do you want to know something? Makeup is quite possibly my bliss. There's not a part of this industry I dislike. There is one part of a little bit of the corporate stuff gets me a little cranky, but you know what? That's because I'm not the type that likes to fit into a box. So, you know, and I don't think in this industry the boxes are very good, but, you know, that's a whole different story. So.
But you know what? A little bit later in the show, I want to talk about that story, the corporate side. But we're going to talk about some other stuff first.
I know. I wouldn't mind talking about that, too. I'm probably going to get a lot of flack. I'm going to be getting letters and emails and phone calls tomorrow. But you know what? Hey. Whatever. It's good to shake people up and get them thinking. That's the way I feel about it because you know what?
Absolutely.
We should not be just led along to believe everything that people tell us is the gospel truth. It's like, you know, you got to have different points of view. You got to stir things up and make people wake up and think for themselves. This is why I tell artists constantly when I'm training. It's like you have to make mistakes. I don't want to ever be in a class where artists are desperately trying to impress me because they're not learning anything. I make mistakes all the time. I shouldn't really be saying that on air, should I? No, but I make mistakes. I try new things all the time. I want to see if I can mix this together, if I could do this kind of a technique, if I could try to do something different. And if it doesn't work, guess what? It's makeup. It washes off easily.
Yes.
So, you know, it's like artists need to get out there and just screw up a bit and not say, you know, Kevin said to put this color in section A and that color in section B, because I don't teach that way, and I don't think anybody should. You should always find your own style. You know, it's like once you're given the technique and the technical aspects of makeup artistry, go out there and you only learn by doing. You learn the basics. You learn how to do certain styles, then go out there and just experience it, and you will get better and better and better as you experience more.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Now I'm going to step off the soapbox, and I'm going to let y'all talk.
Well, let's start from the beginning. When did you get started in this business, and what inspired you to become a makeup artist?
Really? Do you really want to hear this? Because it's very obscure. I'll give you a quick little breakdown.
Okay.
I grew up in a lovely area called Gravesend in Brooklyn, New York, which is possibly one of the oldest neighborhoods on this section of the island of Long or Manhattan or whatever. It's been around forever, hundreds of years. I spent 12 years in parochial school with nuns and priests and brothers beating my brains out with yardsticks and telling me to do things a certain way. So of course I left. So of course I left and decided to become a performing arts major, because that was being an actor and actors. Oh, that's a secure career.
But I did
minor in practical psychology, which ended up being a godsend, being a makeup artist.
Mm-hmm.
Also good for hairstylists. So I was a performing arts major, and you know I was supposed to graduate and be the next big thing in Broadway musical theater. But Broadway hit a little bit of a snag or a rough financial spot when I graduated college, and people kind of forgot to tell me I needed a backup plan. So what ended up happening was I actually had theatrical makeup training because of my major, and it came from a family that was pretty talented, you know, music, art, design. So it was kind of inevitable that I would do something creative, and I was very visual. I even though I enjoyed performing, visual art stimulated me very much. So I ended up doing freelance display design work, which eventually landed me at Bloomingdale's, New York. I worked in the cosmetic and fragrance display area, and I worked with my manager, and I worked with all the cosmetic vendors on their weekly promotions, their big launches, all this other stuff, which introduced me to cosmetics in a very profound way because I was handling products constantly. I was talking to vendors. I was learning about, you know, what was in things, you know, and I would get loaned out to the window display department every now and again because they needed extra help. Let's say they had, like, 40 mannequins they had to do for a window. They knew I had an art background and I could paint, so they were like, okay, you know what, we need some help. And when I started working with them, I made this amazing discovery. At Bloomingdale's, New York, back in the year when, you know, when dinosaurs were still roaming and I was becoming a baby makeup artist, they were using actual makeup to make the mannequins up. What would happen is the cosmetic companies would cross-promote with the fashion companies. So whoever was the cosmetic promotional leader for the store for that week, because back then Bloomingdale's was like a three-ring circus. You'd walk in and, like, walls would be moved every week. Things would appear out of nowhere overnight. People would launch cosmetics and fragrances and spend hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars visually just in one store. I mean, that's how crazy it was back then. And here I was, like, painting mannequin faces with makeup. So I was actually painting faces with makeup.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, you know, I kind of like this. It was really interesting. And so it kind of stimulated something in the back of my head. And then karma kind of came crashing down on me. And I met this amazing artist, or was introduced to this amazing artist at a party. And I told him how much I had loved the face painting on the mannequins at work. And he inspired me to dive, you know, headlong into makeup artistry as a career. Interesting, the gentleman's name was Wei Bandy. Who is
my goodness.
And I had no idea who he was. I was introduced to him at a party, had no idea that this was the man that was shaping the actual career of fashion makeup artists. He was the first. He made it happen. Back then, when he first started, models would go to a photo shoot, and the models would apply their own makeup. He's a man that pioneered the fact that there are makeup artists doing fashion makeup in our industry. He's the man.
Right.
So, I mean, it was like, and it wasn't until maybe a couple of days later that somebody told me who he actually was, and I was like, what? Wow. And, I mean, his words resonated so deeply. I mean, I immediately, like, took it upon myself, okay, I got to train. I got to start assisting. I was relentless. I was working retail makeup. I was working in salons. I was doing runway. I was working on TV talk shows. I was doing all this stuff at the same time. Sometimes I was triple booked in a day. Most times I was working 7 days a week. I was hell-bent on succeeding because this is what I loved. Now, this funny little story brings us to the most poignant thing I ever tell artists when they say, how do I make it in this business? You have to be relentless. You have to network constantly. You have to work on your business because you are your business. You have to work on your business every day. Every day I work on my business. I've already achieved over 20 blah, 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 blah years a pretty decent career. And it's not hard for me to book work. But the thing is, I want to control my business. And when I was first starting, I didn't have this. And I remember what it was like. And I think, and I don't mean to, trivialize people, but I think that there are a lot of young artists. I think there are a lot of kids growing up today. Here, I'm going to get back on the soapbox. Get ready. That kind of marginalize the hard work. They're kind of entitled, and they expect things to just come to them without really putting in a little bit or a lot of bit of effort. And in consideration for where the cosmetic industry is at this point for makeup artists, there are far too many people, and I say this with love, not really, that claim to be makeup artists that really aren't, taking jobs from people that are actually trained. So there's a glut of artists and not a lot of jobs. You have to be the best.
Yeah.
You have to have yourself out there. You have to have people see you. You have to, and again, I say this with love, not lose the drama. Because whether you want to understand this or realize it or not, when you are on set, we're the help. Okay?
We're the help.
Absolutely. We're the help, kids. You know what? We are hired to do a job. We are not the talent. We are not the star. Lose the tude. I have worked with way too many people that get on set, and they're fabulous. You know what? It works on a reality show. It doesn't work in real life. They won't hire you again if you give them drama. So get out there, work hard, be professional, do your job, network every day. You'll be successful. I guarantee you'll be successful.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that was a long story.
Wow, that was a great one. And I thought of one question while you were saying all that. What are some of the changes that you've seen in the industry from when you first started to now?
Excuse me, I'm sorry, you're getting a little muddled. What did you say, I'm sorry?
I said, what's been some of the changes that you've noticed in the business since from the beginning of your career to now?
Here's where I'm going to get myself into a lot of trouble. Corporate America has changed our industry greatly.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should tread very lightly right now, but there's been a lot of very profound changes in our ability to work, and it's been created by marketeers and PR people from corporate cosmetic companies, because they need bargaining chips and they want to get, things from people, and they offer stuff that they shouldn't be offering that people should be paid for. And was that delicate enough? Did I skirt around that well enough?
Yeah.
But you get my drift, right?
I got it.
You know, it's like, and the thing is, it kind of hurts my heart because we're going into Fashion Week, and what's happening as usual is, corporate America is running Fashion Week on the cosmetic end, and I hate to say it, guys, but when I was doing runway, I was an assistant, and I was getting paid $600 to $800 per show. As an assistant.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are 15 years later, and these poor kids are getting tops $200 a show.
Yes.
What's going on here? What the heck is happening? I mean, aren't salaries supposed to go up as years go on?
Right.
So it's kind of unfortunate, and because of this, what's happening is, these people are not going out and trying to do these fashion shows as much as they should, because it used to be that there was a large collection of artists that would get to work because each show would have 6, 8, 10, sometimes 12 makeup artists, key makeup artists, a whole group of people. Every show would have different, you'd run into a couple of your friends at one show, then you wouldn't see them for 2 days, and then you'd run into them at another show because each makeup designer would hire different people. So, you might not always be working with the same people. And you're always working with, visionaries. And it wasn't cosmetics designed to sell a product. It was cosmetics designed to stimulate the people that saw it.
Right.
So it was a whole different thing. And trust me, I'm not doing poo-poo to corporate America. I'm just not. It's just that I feel that a lot of the vision, the creativity, the wonder, the joy of this is no longer there. It's, we don't see the amazing things we used to see before, unless it's something totally ridiculous, avant-garde, then everybody goes, ooh. But, I mean, there's just so few and far between now. I remember the days back when I'm, like, reminiscing like a real old man. Are you listening to me? But, I mean, it was Todd Oldham. I mean, he had the superstar models. Like, he had the dream team walking out with black vinyl eyebrows on, wearing Western clothes. It was brilliant.
Yes.
Brilliant. I mean, I was working Runway back in the days when the Holy Trinity had just started. I mean, and I don't say this to pat myself on the back, but every major supermodel you can name that worked in New York in the 80s, I probably touched.
Right.
Right.
Did they remember me? Hell no. Do I care? Because I got to play with them. I got to do Claudia Schiffer's makeup when she was 17 years old. Those are the wow days. Those are the days when you would have 30 or 40 supermodels or high-level models walking a Carolina Herrera show, walking a Norma. I mean, Norma Kamali, literally, one of the years I worked on Norma Kamali, she had 7 uber supermodels in her show, walking the show.
Wow.
And I was like, I think back now, and I'm like, wow, these girls were huge. They were actually big at the time coming up. But, I mean, they went on to be mega superstars. We don't even see that anymore, do we?
Not much.
Because they certainly aren't on magazine covers wherever they are.
Yeah, so I got totally off of makeup. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go there.
That's quite all right.
You asked about Fashion Week. I told you my stuff about it. See, that's the other thing. You got to keep me guided. I go off on tangents. It comes with age.
So listen, the Fashion Week, I know that you're not working Fashion Week this year, but can you tell us a little bit about how you normally prepare for it?
Got to be really honest with you. It has been years since I worked Fashion Week.
Okay.
Because, I don't know, you can't hear this happening, but yes, you can. I'm knocking on wood. I spent a lot of time doing television and film, and I can tell you about doing Fashion Week years ago, but it's totally different now because I spent almost 3 years working for Makeup Forever, and I can tell you I was at a few fashion shows, and it's run totally different now. I mean, I'm trying to really figure out where the whole concept of sponsorship. See, this is where we get back to corporate America. This is where I feel like I'm like being a vigilante again. It's like, you know, you're sponsored by a makeup company. They come in and they dump a bunch of colors on you and say, okay, you got to make something out of these.
Right.
You know, or we've got a new product we'd like you to feature. You know, oh, this is a new color for us. I mean, I don't understand, and I could be totally wrong. Please understand this. I could be totally wrong. I don't see the makeup artists having the ability to do as much as they want to, mixing brands together, mixing textures together, doing things that are totally out of the box, you know, that they used to be able to do without the sponsorship. You know, because it's kind of funny because what happens is they're really not using all the sponsors' makeup, but it has to appear that they are.
Right.
Oops, did I say that?
You said it.
You make sure the sponsor's name is all over the place and all their bottles are out front, and then you reach into your bag and you get the palettes that have no names on them and you use those. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes you have to because, you know, sometimes the vendor doesn't make what you need.
Sometimes.
Right.
But like I said, TV and film, I loved it. Loved it, yeah. Loved it, loved it. I'm actually looking forward to hopefully going back and doing more of it. That's a medium that's really interesting because the thing is, I spent 9 years doing soap operas. And I don't know if you guys are aware of what kind of a schedule that is.
Tell us a little bit about your soap opera days. What's the schedule like? What's the actual shooting like? How's working in the makeup department at a soap opera?
Okay, you best be sitting. You're sitting down, right? Because this is going to make you tired. This is definitely going to make I was the key of the show, so I had to be there before everybody else. So I would be up at 4:30 every morning. The car from the studio would come to pick me up at my apartment at 5:45. I would be at the studio by 6:30 because our studio was in Midwood in Brooklyn, so the car would have to drive me out to Brooklyn. And then at 7 o'clock, or actually 10 to 7, my artists would come in. 7 o'clock, the actors started coming in. The first group of actors between the hours of 7 and 8:30 a.m. had to go through rehearsal with the director and blocking, had to go through the wardrobe department, had to go through the hair department, had to go through the makeup department, all in an hour and a half before they had to be on set to start the day.
Wow.
It was generally a madhouse. I basically could slap together a daytime diva with lashes in 15 to 20 minutes. Sometimes I did it in 10. So you come in, let's say, at this time in the morning. You don't leave until there's at least one entire show finished that day. Because what people don't realize is there are no reruns in daytime television.
Right.
While you might get 22 episodes of a show during a season now, and they'll spend 7 to 9 days filming that, we were producing an hour of television every day, 250 days a year.
Yep.
And sometimes you would be there until midnight or 1 in the morning and have to be back there at 6:30 again.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But you know what? It was wonderful pain because 5 nominations and 2 Emmy Awards later, I'm a happy boy.
Absolutely.
And you know what? And I got to do amazing things. I got to do period makeup. I got to do special effects. I got to do everything that I ever wanted to do. I got to hone my craft like no one I could ever think of. I mean, when you're working at that pace, 5 days a week, 50 weeks a year, I mean, you learn makeup. It's the only thing I could even equate it to is doing retail makeup. And I tell every artist that when you're starting to do makeup, if you go poo-poo and you don't want to do retail makeup, you will never, ever be an excellent artist. Because it's not about having that 13-year-old model with the flawless skin sitting in your chair. It's about having real people like you and me sitting there, probably having some massive self-esteem issues, thinking that a new lipstick is going to change their life for the better. You've got to find a way to make them look their best in a compressed amount of time and make them feel better about themselves through your artistry. That's work.
Mm-hmm.
So those people are like, oh, retail, poo-poo. It's like, you know what? Get out of yourselves. That's where the real artists started. And if you talk to real working artists, the people that have survived this industry, I'm not talking about people that work here and there and disappear. I'm talking about people that have survived 10, 15, 20 years in this industry. I will guarantee you, every last one of them had their roots in retail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because that's where you learn.
Absolutely.
Which brings us to the other form of makeup artistry, which I find very interesting that people at a certain level decide that they no longer will do, which is bridal. I hear artists say, oh, I don't do bridal anymore. It's like, girl, don't you want a paycheck? I'm actually very friendly with the ladies at The Knot, which is that, you know, global web bridal destination with 5 gazillion people on it. We were talking at a dinner. We went to dinner a while back, and we were talking, and they disclosed figures to me from 2009. Now, mind you, 2009 is when the recession hit us the hardest. It started in 2008. 2009 was dismal, correct?
Supposedly.
$47 billion was spent on bridal in the United States in 2009.
Amazing. Wow. Amazing.
Wait, gets better. $500 million was spent on beauty services, not beauty products, not makeup, not hair care, not anything. It was spent on the actual services. $500 million in the United States in the depth of a recession. People are telling me I don't do bridal makeup. are out of their flipping minds. It's a gold mine. If I had the time, honey, if I got the time, my butt's after. Yeah, I'll paint your face, Ms. Bride. I will make you look so gorgeous. I will, as the workshop says, I will bulletproof you. You will look as gorgeous from your first picture to your last. And thank you so much for that money. And go home.
Yes.
So, I mean, I'm not one that deals with artists that have an attitude about the kind of jobs they do. I rarely say no unless it's going to cost me money or hurt me physically.
Right, right. Absolutely.
So I'm kind of like railroading this. I'm railroading this whole show here. I'm not letting you ask things. I'm sorry. I'm just going.
Well, before you say anything else, Miss Fast and Furious 5 is on the line. So I want to let her get on really quick before she has to go off. Let's see here. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. We're just talking to each other. Kevin's on the line. Jennifer's on the
hey.
Line.
Hi, Kevin. How are you? Hi, Jennifer.
Hey, babe. How'd you get away?
I've been trying to call in now for the past 40 minutes.
What?
Before the show started, I've been trying to call in, but, you know, the lines were busy.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Does that mean I'm popular?
I'm sorry.
Does that mean I'm popular or something?
Something like that.
I think so, Kevin. Face it, honey.
Yeah. And that's the reason why I made the announcement early, because I knew there were going to be a lot of people, you know, there were going to be people calling in. We're probably missing some calls now. But she made it through, so that's good.
Yeah, it's going to get loud here in a few minutes, but I was, you know, trying to listen in a little bit to hear what you all were talking about, and I totally agree with that that counter makeup. I think doing the counter makeup is where you're going to touch the most faces, and you're going to encounter, you know, the most different situations where you're going to find different skin types and skin textures and things like that. So it's very important
to get that
type of experience early on in your career. I think it really does make you a better artist.
I agree. I totally agree.
People are looking at me crazy because I walked out around one of the groups and I said skin tight and skin texture, and he turned all the way around, so I had to walk away.
Do you want to know? I mean, it warms my heart because my background is primarily television and film, and I'm like, you're on set talking on a radio show while they're filming.
Right.
I loved it. I love it. I'm a little bummed that you ditched out on me on the Fast and Furious 5. I thought they were stopping after 3. You're up to 5?
They should have stopped after 3. How about that?
I was going to say that, but I didn't. Thank God you did.
But I just want to say for the people on the BBM chat, I have to say this. Paul Walker is gorgeous. I want to make him jealous, so.
Ooh.
Okay, we're rolling now, so I'm going to have to go.
Bye. Okay, Joan, it was great talking to you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
See you later, babe.
All right, bye-bye. I'll let you all hear a little bit as I'm hanging up. Okay.
That's hysterical. I love it.
Yeah. So that's probably one of the best things about working with Paul Walker. He's a cutie.
Oh, my God, look at this. There's all these comments coming up here. I'm just looking. Hello? Is there somebody on the line? Hello?
No. Why, you hear somebody? There's nobody else on the line.
I thought somebody else was coming in. I don't know. Well, okay. Where are we going next on this fabulous ride? This is like going on a roller coaster. I like this.
Well, I mean, oh goodness, there was so much before he even called in that we were discussing. Gosh, we could go on and on just about what we talked about alone. Let's talk about, because I know I'm very familiar with the In My Kit website. So let's talk about that a little bit. What's new in your kit?
Well, I got to explain why In My Kit was started. It was basically started as a guide to new makeup artists because I know how hard it is for people that are just starting.
Mm-hmm.
It's very expensive. In this day and age especially, there are so many products out there. It's endless.
Oh, yeah.
So the thing is, I put this together as sort of, not necessarily, you know, a Bible or rules. It was basically to show people, it's like, you know, these are what the working artists out there are using right now. So maybe you need to look at this stuff first, you know? So, that's basically how it started. But then it got a life of its own because it had a voice of its own. It had me because I would talk to people, and as you could probably tell already, I'm not the most reverent when it comes to talking about things. I can be eloquent, but I don't necessarily have to be cultured. So, and people started picking up on the twists on, you know, how I was explaining things, and it sort of became kind of fun. And I love it because now whenever I go to a show, a trade show, whenever I'm, you know, in communication, you know, with artists through email, through, you know, instant messaging, through, you know, texting, whatever, on Twitter, we're constantly exchanging stuff. Hey, what about this? What about this? Okay, let's try this. What's your research say on this? How did this work on set? How did this do this? And the site is constantly evolving. I'm having a little bit of a problem now getting together the tools end of it, which is going to have brushes and all that other stuff, because I got to tell you, everybody thinks I'm being lazy. I'm totally not being lazy about it. People are so scattered on brushes, it makes me crazy. I can't get a straight answer out of people. People use so many different kinds of brushes, and they're like, well, I love this week, and then I love that next week. It's like, you know what? This is the buying guide for new students. We've got to give them the correct choices. We can't just change on a whim. So
right.
I assure you, the brush section will go up once I get everybody to nail down what they're actually loving and using, not about what they just picked up at a show. I want to know what they're using, and it's working. So all of you guys out there that are working a lot, I want to know which of your brushes are getting the most abuse, because that means you're actually using them. And email me the answers to connect. CONNECT at madenyc.com, where you could go to the website madenyc.com and just go to the connect page and get the email address. But I want to know because I really want to get that section done. As far as new products coming out, I'm very interested in a lot of the newer skincare that's coming out because I'm getting a lot of people asking me when I go out on work if I've got natural products or vegan products, which people never asked before. So that's an interesting category that's been growing lately. And actually, there's one company that I've just started playing with, and I've gotten some really good reviews. Actually, two companies got really good reviews from other artists. One's called Nude Skincare. So it's pretty cool. They've got an amazing cleansing oil, a facial cleansing oil. I would say that it's actually better than the iconic Shu Uemura cleansing oil. It's amazing.
Whoa.
It's stuff is badass. I mean, it's like you put it on dry skin, you massage it in, add a little water, it turns into a milk. It removes even waterproof makeup, and it's totally gentle, and it's got all natural ingredients and stuff. I mean, it's really, really good. Of course, and Clarisonic. My Clarisonic changed my life. Every artist I know that has one in their kit knows what I mean. When you go on set, when you go into the makeup trailer, you go into the makeup room, and these people claim that their skin is clean, they are lying to you. They always lie about that. You know, my skin's clean. I use moisturizer. I kind of sit back. I get the machine out. I give them a little whirl. It vibrates. I'm like, ooh, this feels nice, and I know their skin is clean. I mean, it's an expensive little venture to get into, but when you finally can afford to get one, get that Clarisonic. You got to get it. It just works. It's helped me. Like people with peely, messed up skin, it just cleared stuff away. It was really great. Mm-hmm. And there's another company that's getting a lot of press lately, which I'm finding very interesting. It's a company called Ren, R-E-N. And they do not just natural, they do vegan skincare products. And some of their moisturizers and masks and everything for us to use prior to makeup application are really, really amazing. Really good stuff. So that's it on the skincare line. On foundation, I'm a little bit miffed because I had called into some pretty high-level executives over at Lancome because I'm aching to get my hands on a bottle of Tint Miracle, the new foundation that's supposed to rival anything we've ever seen because it uses technology that actually bends spectral light around to give us a radiant appearance of youth, meaning that it kind of pulls out more of the pink and blue tones or the blue pink and blue reflective light. It makes your skin look fresher, in effect. It's supposed to be 10 years of technology packed in the bottle. That basically has me shaking like a crack addict. Just the idea that they have taken 10 years to make this, and they're like, oh, don't worry, Kevin, we'll get it to you. We'll get it. It's like, when? I'm like, I keep on reading. You know, and it's just making me crazy. So that's on the hit list. I'm a little bit nervous, though, because they're launching it in the UK first before they roll it out globally. It sounds like a test market to me. I mean, I'm brutally honest. But it sounds like they're testing it there to see what happens before they bring it to the U.S. because they know how tough we're going to be on it.
Right.
But, hey, you know what? If you took 10 years to make it, I shouldn't be able to break it that easily. You know, so we'll see how that is. But that's the item I'm most interested in at the moment. I think it's pretty cool. I'm kind of interested in. Well, I don't know if I'd say interested. I'm kind of intrigued by the new NARS Skin Smoothing, the face prep. It's sort of like Benefit Dr. Feel Good, but better.
Oh.
It actually works. It's got a whole lot of silicone elastomer in it, which means that it fills in fine lines, and it can be used as a prep before to control oil and fill in lines, or it can actually be used afterwards, which I find very interesting. And they backed that one up with an eyeshadow base NARS made that could be used, and I don't know how they managed this one. It could be used not only under dry eyeshadow, it could be used under cream eyeshadow. So I'm like, wait a minute, you've got a primer that can go underneath an eyeshadow that would normally pull it back up. So I'm very intrigued by that. So, and I mean, just, you know, the usual suspects, like, you know, the people at Krylon. Are we allowed to talk about real pro products here?
Yes, we are. Let's do it.
I'm so, did I say so?
Yes.
So excited. They have come up with the next generation. I mean, I'm going to say the word, and of course, you know, the clouds will part, the angels will sing. Flash color. Everybody is in love with flash color. I think we might have met its match.
What?
I'm not joking. I am not joking with you. They have come out. Krylon went into the market with an HD foundation. Let's be honest. None of us were thrilled. Okay?
Right.
It was a whole lot of, okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. They have taken the same concept. I know I'm not supposed to jog people. I'm not jogging. I said it was okay. It wasn't like the be-all, end-all. Took the same formula and added micronized pigment in a myriad of colors. So basically, they took an HD formula, a liquid cream formula, and made it in gorgeous colors like Flash Color, like Super Color, like those other cream makeups were, but it's totally HD compliant, and it's got an HD foundation finish.
Wow.
So we don't have all that grease and oil to deal with, and some of the colors are ridiculous gorgeous. They've got an olive drab that's got a bronzy gold iridescent in it that is thick on anyone's skin that is past moderate Latina. Anyone darker than that, this color on the eyes is insane. It's
wow.
So beautiful. And another startling amazing discovery. Those fabulous people at RCMA finally did something new that I love. They came up with a clear foundation. Everybody's going, what? They actually took the RCMA cream foundation formula and took the pigment out of it.
Wow.
So now you have what is the basis of a cream foundation with no pigment that you can mix anything into. Honey, let me tell you, no sooner I got out my, you know, my OCC loose color concentrate, I got out my pigments, I got out all my powdered stuff, I started making things, I started cooking in the kitchen. That stuff is, let me tell you something, I am, well, they call me Blenderella, and it was like Blenderella was in bliss. It was like, oh my God, I can make anything with this. Because the thing is, up until now, we've always had mixing mediums that were very fluid, very loose. Yes. They weren't, you know, they weren't creamy. They weren't giving us the bite or the feel to make a real gorgeous cream blush or to make anything that we really, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, I get so excited just thinking about it. It's like, but I mean, something as silly as a little $20 tub of what should be a foundation, but they forgot to put the pigment in that I can mix with anything else. Insane. Oh, I mixed it with OCC lip tars and made cream blushes. It's crazy. I don't have to carry my Ben Nye fireworks wheel anymore. I can mix loose pigments into it and make my own fireworks cream.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Because you know me, I'm like the kid focus boy. It's like the less stuff in my bag, the better I am.
Right.
I don't carry a lot of stuff. I mean, Ms. Jen has seen. She's seen me in action at shows. I carry a messenger bag, and that includes my brushes.
Yeah.
And that's got false eyelashes. It's got everything in it. There's nothing I can't do out of that bag. I love condensing.
Trying to get a lot of people to get that condensing in their heads because it really makes your job easier, and it makes your artistry better at the same time.
Well, you know what the other thing is? It forces you to think.
Yeah,
instead of
standing
there and... Instead of standing there and procrastinating over the 17 different colors of brown you have and trying to figure out which one you're going to use, you've got three different browns and you know what color you have to make and you mix them accordingly to get that color.
Right.
You know, I don't need to have taupe eyeshadow in my kit. I've got gray. I've got brown. I can make taupe.
Here we go.
You know, so it's like it's freed me. And now having this product, I'm like, wow, I've been begging people to make this. I've been begging manufacturers, I said, could you please just give me a bottle of the stuff the foundation is made of without the pigment so I could use it to either thin them out or make something else or do whatever. And everybody's like, oh, you don't want that. I was like, but I do. I really do. I want that. Now RCMA. Who'd have thunk that RCMA, the sleeping giant that's been around for years, that seemingly does nothing, new. Seemingly
right.
has not done a thing new in 25 years, comes up with this one simple little clear foundation, it is rocking my world.
Now, is there a certain, do they call it something in particular, or is it just clear foundation?
Huh? I'm sorry.
Do they have a particular name for it, or is it just called clear foundation?
Just called clear.
Oh, wow.
Just ask,
okay.
That's it. It's like, you know, they got like 150 colors, but you just say, no, I want the clear. Now, I had asked them, I was at Alcon today, and they didn't have it at the store. They might have it at the warehouse. I know they have it at Nigel's and at Mamie's out in L.A.
Okay.
And I don't know. Suzanne could probably get it for you, too.
Okay.
You know, Miss Patterson. So, those are the products that have got me really excited right now. I think those are my favorites. Is there anything you've seen there that you have questions about that you thought was intriguing or different?
I did see the Krylon. I didn't get a chance to really look at it and play with it, but I have seen it.
They're crazy. They really are. They're fun. Oh, yeah. Oh, and NYX. Oh, my God. Cheap old NYX.
Mm-hmm.
They actually came out with an amazing highlight and contour set.
You've seen that one of
your type. Are you saying NYX, NYX?
Yep, NYX, NYX. Highlight and contour set. Cream. Bottle. Two big bottles, under 30. I was amazed. I was like, really? Could this actually be a good, and it's actually great colors. It's really good. I was kind of shocked. It was good. It was very good. I enjoyed it. You're like, oh, if Kevin enjoyed it, it must be okay. No, don't take my word for it. Go out and play.
But you were excited about it, though.
I was just really happy that somebody was actually making colors that were calibrated specifically for highlight and contour, that did not have a ton of shimmer in them or weren't looking like bronzers when you put them on. I mean, contour colors have to have a certain amount of red and a certain amount of gray in them. Because when
right.
you look at somebody's face in shadow, the shadow is an absence of light, which means it is actually moving into the grayish area. People tend to make these contour things that they call contour colors, or they use colors that they consider contour. We won't even, I got to laugh. Janice, I was on your blog, and when I'm reading the Jews and Jugs that you don't want to see anymore, I was laughing my butt off about the yellow highlight and all the other stuff that was wrong. I feel the same way about using, like, all these nasty orangey bronzers for contours. It's like, what are you doing? It looks ridiculous. It's not a contour. So, you know, so I was kind of excited about that. And I mean, I think that's about it. I'm always on the lookout for new stuff. I'm always, like, trying new products. So God only knows what I'll find. I leave for Australia on Monday. We know one thing I won't be buying there, which is Napoleon Perdice. Because I won't buy it here. And I'm sorry, oops, did I say that? I'm going to get in trouble. I better shush. But, no, I mean, I noticed you sent me a question about whether or not I wanted to go into the silicone debate. Are we going to go there?
Yeah.
Yeah, but before we go there, I have a caller. I'm not sure if this is Suzanne or not, but we'll see here. Hello?
Yeah, it's Suzanne.
Hi, Suzanne.
Hey, Suzanne. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Maybe we should hold over to next week, you guys.
No, we have time. We have time. This is tonight's show is a little longer, unless you don't have time.
Oh, okay. All right. I just didn't want to interrupt.
I know. I'm just going, Suzanne, I know. I'm just going on and on and on. You got to shut me up sometimes.
Oh, come on. No, I always enjoy hearing everyone.
It's fun, and we enjoy hearing you because you've always got great tips for us.
Oh, well. well, do you want me to do my little bit, or?
Please.
Okay, all right. I hate switching tracks because I just love listening to Kevin's, and he's on a roll there, so I hated to interrupt it.
Aw.
We still have time for him, too.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, okay, so this is sort of breaks it up because we're, you know, of course, my segment is technology and technique, and I'm a big technology junkie, HD junkie. So I kind of wanted to go back a little bit to, you know, what I was talking about before, just to kind of give an easier synopsis of when we talked about Lux and Lumen, because I know it probably was a little more technical. But, you know, here's another approach to this, and I know I laid it down, you know, pretty technical with that discussion, but so I thought maybe a short, simplified review would make this more user-friendly and help to saturate it down a bit more in thinking, because, you know, knowledge is really power when you're on a set. The more you know about lighting, which is the beginning of makeup, makeup starts with lighting, and the more you know, the more you can interface with your lighting crew on set and even understand what they're doing. It really helps you to see lighting the way it's professionally measured on set, or even when you're working with your own little palm-sized video cameras that are so popular now, you'll understand better how to light better for them. So, again, to distill this down into some simple basics, Lux simply refers to the amount or the strength of light that falls on a subject from an illuminating source at a set distance. That's all Lux really is in a nutshell. It's used as a unit of measure 1 square meter is how they measure it. But this is really about 3 feet in distance from that light still on the subject. Lux is also referred to as a measurement in foot candles, which is kind of the British way of measuring lux. And it simply means the amount of light that falls on a subject from just one lit candle that is placed 3 feet away from it. So now you have kind of a better understanding of how they measure that. So it's how much that spill reaches the light subject 3 feet away from it. So a measurement of one lux would equal the amount or strength of one candle of light that falls on a subject that's set 3 feet away. 10 lux would equal the amount or strength of 10 candles of light that fall on a subject 3 feet away. Okay, so that makes it a little easier to understand, right? Kind of,
yeah,
it kind
totally.
Of makes it a little simpler. Lumen deals with measuring the amount of light that is actually radiated out by the light source, such as a lit candle. So we'll use a lit candle as the example. Lumen measures the luminance or the brightness of that light source that falls on the subject. So let's say that light falling on a subject 3 feet away is measured as what? 1 lux. That's 1 lux, right? So
right.
Therefore...
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, I didn't... John, you didn't know that there was going to be a pop quiz.
No, I'm just... I'm just trying to kind of engage everybody's thinking here. So it's 1 lux. Okay, so the so light falling on a subject 3 feet away is 1 lux. Therefore, it is also 1 lumen because the brightness of the light is the same as the light still on the subject at the distance. They're both equal. They start out as equal. However, when you start moving that subject away from that light still, then the brightness of the lumen rating begins to drop because the subject is not as brightly lit from the direct source like it was from 3 feet away.
Yep.
So the equality of lux and lumens begins to change in its ratio. And so unless there's some other light noise or reflection near the subject, then that's going to the brightness is going to be dimmer on the subject because it's farther away. So lux is also a rating term for the camera to be able to accurately gather up that low-lit subject and record the image correctly. So you're going to find that cameras have lux ratings on them. For instance, if you have a camera that has a 1 lux rating or technically a 1 foot candle rating, it means it should be able to capture and produce an image by the light of 1 candle 3 feet away from the subject. When you see a lux rating on a camera, that's what it means. Many cameras on the market now are 1 lux or even 0 lux, but another problem is that they may not, you know, iris up, or meaning that they don't have an open lens capability sufficient to natively capture that image. So what happens is that it ends up with a grainy-looking or monochromatic-looking subject. On the other hand, though, the camera will also see and records any other errant light bounces or reflection that makes its way to the lens in the low lighting so that, you know, it's that sensitive. So lux ratings do tend to vary. So if the subject matter, for instance, has lighter-colored or more reflective surfaces, it will obviously reproduce better in low light situations than the darker objects will. Because 100 lux illuminate, just because 100 lux illuminates an object, don't assume that the camera is actually seeing a brightly lit 100 lumen subject, especially if the distance is further away. There's such a proliferation of consumer videos on the market these days. You know, those even the little compact handheld HD cameras, and I have one, it's just really great, but this is where I see the problem, too. This is where lux really is driven home. You know, people use these for making their own videos or putting them on the internet, such as YouTube. If you have a very poor or low light lighting atmosphere to work with, then the lux rating of the camera will really come into play because it has a fixed focal lens length, and you will definitely need to augment light for getting good quality images. So I just wanted to review that before, and I didn't know if we had time to go on to something else I had, but I just really felt like it would be great to simplify that because I think it's just important, especially since we have little handheld videos and that we people do YouTube videos with, or we do night scenes with, you know, recording family get-togethers or parties or whatever. But it's interesting to note that, you know, lux and lumens do come into play.
Yeah, I got clear on that. That was brilliant. That was fabulous. Thank you.
Can we go to your website and get a recap so we can, like, see it again in black and white?
See what again in black and white?
Everything you just said. Well, not everything you said, but just the basics of it.
You listen to the radio. Listen to the spot over again.
Yeah.
That's true.
Just hit record.
Suzanne is not writing this all out. Don't you get it? She gets paid to write those books.
books. It's just one of those things. But I wanted to share. I don't know. Do we still have some time? Another couple of minutes or so. That.
Well, guys, I just got to warn you. I'm going to have to run at 10:15 because I've got a call coming in from Australia for an interview for IMAT. So I don't want to rush anybody. No.
It's up to you guys. I was just going to share with you. Yesterday, I was on a video production two-camera shoot yesterday. That was my absolute first experience with the two hottest HDSLR cameras being used in the industry right now. And I say hot as a loose term, and I'll explain that in a minute. But the HDSLRs are the biggest thing right now because these single reflex still cameras also shoot the higher end HD format, the 1080p, at variable frames per second. The DP on the shoot used the Canon 5D Mark II, which is the very same camera that exclusively shot the season finale of House this year, which is a pretty bold advertisement, I think, for Canon, considering up until then the show was shot directly on 35mm. Our DP also used the Canon EOS 7D, which is an 18-megapixel resolution with a pixel size of 4.3 microns. This caused a lot of misfortune to me on the shoot. The Canon 5D was also fitted with the latest and the greatest macro lens, the equivalent of 160-millimeter lens, because we were shooting.
Whoa.
Yes, 160-millimeter. We were shooting extremely tight on the face, and I can't tell you what the project is. I will be able to talk about it in a few weeks, but you'll see why. So we had an end-to-end screen capture on monitor, and the clarity of the lens in this monitor has kept me on my toes more than I have ever been in the 11 years that I've been working in HD here in Washington, D.C., and even in my entire career. My so-called perfect brows took a beating because it captured some places where I obviously slipped off the hairs, and I swear I did not see this when I sent her off the set, honestly and truly.
Wow.
I was, you know, standing there, I don't see it, and I looked in the monitor, and I just, like, absolutely cringed. I could not see it in my eye, but it was glaring in the monitor. This lens even showed tiny microscopic errant flakes of mascara that stood out like a sore thumb. My perfect full lip took a beating. I really did. My world was rocked yesterday. It was really, really rocked, and my two assistants took great glee in watching the monitor for other slips of my brush. I mean, they had a great time. I mean, it was all in good fun, but I have to say, I was definitely back in training, or I just don't see anymore. So the moral of the story of this one, obviously, is that I am not wearing my 1.25 glasses anymore. I'm going to wear my 200s, and anytime I'm doing makeup in the chair. The one flaw in the camera, however, that I was talking about was that because it is truly the hottest camera in the sense that it's so very popular right now, well, the sensors overheated several times in this camera, so it shut down production again. So
wow.
It might be the hottest camera, but it truly was the hottest camera. And I just heard recently that Canon announced that they have developed a sensor that can pick up 120 megapixels of data in one image.
Oh, my God.
So this means that there is definitely a 13,280 by 9,184 pixel image in our future.
And I hope I'm retired by then.
With this kind of insane clarity, you will be actually able to take a picture of the Eiffel Tower from the ground, zoom into it to the top, and see clear detail in someone's face. Truly.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
I will be retired, Kevin. There's no doubt about it.
You know what? Actually, it's not even about retirement.
I have the steam back up, but I'm telling you, it tells me all the more reason why HDMU is so critical.
It's the most important thing in the world. People don't understand how important, as an artist, if you do not learn HD-compliant makeup application, you are not going to work in the future. You are not going to work. They don't get it. Everything is going HD. Everything.
It already has. I mean,
I know, and they're being lazy about it, or they just don't want to admit to it.
I don't work in any standard def acquisition formats anymore. I mean, nobody does here in Washington D.C.
Well, I'm even talking, Suzanne. I'm even talking about these people. Like going back, we're talking about bridal before. Brides have their weddings videotaped, and all these weddings are being videotaped in HD. People are having occasions done and videotaped in HD. If you don't know how to do the makeup correctly, you're not going to work.
Right. And you also, it's more about being electronically prepared. So knowledge is power. If you understand and can walk on set and you can interface and defend your talent, defend your makeup on set with the lighting people, because we have a predilection here of lighting people love to blame the makeup artists for their bad lighting.
They always have.
Oh, well, it's even worse than HD here. So.
No, I'm just saying that's a given in this industry. It's like I always tell people, it's like the one person you don't want to get on the bad side of is the lighting director, because they're going to blame you for stuff anyway. And if you piss them off, they're going to make your work look like crap.
Right. So true. It's true.
Much agreed. I think it's right on. So good training, and I'll tell you, good training is not easy to find. And when you have people like Kevin stepping up, and myself stepping up to be open educators about this, people do need to take advantage of it. There's a lot of makeup artists out there trying to braveheart it. I mean, that's kind of my term for trying to learn it off the internet, and they're just. Time, you know, that you have to stop bravehearting it, and you've got to go and sit under professional instruction to know where you're going. You can't
exactly
get all off the internet or go pay another artist a few bucks to say, teach me what you learned in so-and-so's class, because they can't articulate it the way they learned it from the professional, and you really should. Learn from a professional. You really should, at some point in your career, if you haven't, sit under professional guidance so you know where you're going, so you understand what it is that you're doing.
Hey, I mean, Suzanne, I'm from the old school. I had to take tests to get into my union, and it was grueling.
I agree.
You know, so it's like it's all about training. I'm not trying to, you know, bemoan this, but it's like this feeling of entitlement. It's like, well, I could do this, you know, I could read a book, I could get a CD, I could watch it on, you know, the computer. You know, it's like, no, you've got to go out and get training.
With any profession,
you have to go out and get training. You don't become a steel worker by renting a DVD.
you cannot crib a career off the internet. And I see a lot of these long distance learning become a makeup artist, you know, through the internet. And then it's like, where is the professional interface in this that tells you that your technique is correct and what you're learning is correct?
Exactly. You have to be supervised. Somebody has to be there training you and making sure that you're doing it correctly. I totally agree.
I just really support the artists that are out there giving of themselves to make sure that the craft is passed along correctly. There's always going to be artists, up-and-coming artists, that are going to be better than me, and they should be better than me. They need to be better than me.
They have to be.
They are better than me, and I'm thrilled that there's so much talent out there, but you know, still we have to be open and giving and sharing and making sure that what we as old-timers know, I mean, I go back to the early 80s when I started my career under some artists in L.A. that are now big Academy Award winners, and I feel very, very blessed, but they imparted and instilled to me some of the old school values that, you know what, will never go away, will never die, and I'm sure the same is true for Kevin.
Yep.
You know, you need to have some of that as part of your learning curve.
Absolutely.
Totally agree. I applaud Kevin and what he's doing, and there's good stuff going on here in D.C., and
I can't wait to get there in October. We're gonna have fun.
The bulletproof bride.
Yeah, bulletproof bride, baby. I know. It's like, again, it's like, Kevin, what were you thinking when you named that class? But it's the truth. I mean, think about it. Brides go through all manner of hell during the day between crying and hugging and kissing and dancing and, you know, it's like by the end of the day, those cameras are still taking pictures. Your makeup has to stand up. She's got to be bulletproof.
Absolutely.
So that's what that class is all about. It's all about learning those techniques. It's all about also how to market your business because, as I said earlier, anybody who goes poo-poo to bridal, you're out of your mind because it is a huge cash cow happening out there. You could be making lots of money, kids. And I feel very strongly about people who come and say, well, you know, brides don't want to spend the money. It's like, you know what I tell these people? You ask that bride how much she's paying for her bouquet, okay? She's paying $500, $600, $700 for a bouquet that people are going to see in 10% of the pictures. They're going to be seeing her face in 100% of the pictures.
Her face.
She needs to spend money on her face. So
right.
There. So there I said it. Send in those cards and letters. Send the hate mail. See if I care. But that's the honest truth. It's like, you know, it's a big day. You got to spend the money. You got to get the makeup done. You can't have your girlfriend do your makeup that day. I'm sorry. You just can't. You need a professional makeup artist if you want, because it's not about you. It's about the pictures. Brides remember 20 to 25% of that day, maybe, because of everything that's going on around them. They're relying on looking at these pictures to show them what a great time they had and how wonderful it was. If their makeup looks jacked, if their dress looks jacked, if their hair looks jacked, who are they going to blame, themselves? No. So, you know, it's like you want your pictures to look good. Hire professionals to do the work. And that's why these people need to have the training so they can give that level to their bride, who is getting her wedding videotaped in HD. Right, Suzanne?
Yes, absolutely.
You kind of like wrapped up the whole show.
So there you go, all encapsulated, little supplementary here and there. But, yeah. So do we have any other questions? What else? What are we doing next? Or are we going bye-bye?
Well, we're going bye-bye in 2 seconds because I know that you have to leave, but I just wanted to ask you really quick what beauty means to you.
What means to me?
What beauty means to you.
Beauty? It's connoted as being something that's external, but I am a great believer that it is something that is internal that appears to be external. Beauty shows its face in many different ways and in many different forms. I am very blessed and honored to be in a business where I can take people that are not seeing or feeling their beauty and help them find it.
Nice.
So that's about in a clamshell for me.
Wonderful. That was great. Thank you so much, Kevin, for joining us tonight. We do appreciate it. We know you have to go. Have a great time.
I had a blast. It was fun.
Yay!
Yay!
And we have to definitely get you back on sometime soon.
Oh, guys, before I forget. Oh, yeah. I'm doing the weekly blog over at makeup411.com.
Yes.
If you have any questions for me, they have my email address there. If you look under expert advice, there's an email address there. You can send any of your questions into makeup411.com. And, like, I'll be answering, and if your question is really cool, it might be the basis of one of the blogs.
Oh,
cool. So send your questions in, please.
Definitely. And we'll keep making announcements about it, too.
Awesome, darlings. It was so cool talking to you guys. It was so great, especially, first of all, you know, getting to talk to you, Janice, but... Great talking to you as usual, Jen, and lovely speaking to you again, Ms. Suzanne. It was delightful, and your information was impeccable.
Absolutely, I agree. Kevin, we love you. Have a great time at IMAX in Sydney.
Thanks, ladies, and I'll talk to y'all soon, okay? Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Kisses.
And Suzanne.
Yes.
Did you have anything? We talked about the technical side. Did you have another tip?
Well, I tell you, I really pride myself on my brows, and so I'm kind of sniveling over my macro lens experience yesterday. But I will tell you that the technique still was flawless, even if I fell out of the lines a little bit. I'm blaming that on my age. The one thing I think that I want to impart is definitely, and this is what I teach at High Definition Makeup University, is that when you're with brows, there is an underneath, what we call an underneath color, and a tonal color, and a finishing color. So there's actually three different colors that I use on a brow. And the technique that I use is quite a bit different because I work from the brow backwards to sculpt out this color, because brows are never just one color. They're actually a multi-tone. The one thing that that stands out is that brows are often the strongest feature, and they can often look stronger in their color than they actually are in HD. And this is the phenomenon that I've noticed working in HD. So I use colors that are typically 1 to 2.5 steps lighter than the brow, always. I never match the brow color, ever, because I really risk that being looking oversaturated in the camera. And 9 times out of 10, it usually is, especially if you're working in a Sony camera. Sony cameras really make brows look harder than they actually are, because of the inherent atmosphere of the camera, the tonalities they tend to be more on the colder, harder side. Not so much in Panasonics, but I see this more. Again, like I say, I always make sure I know what camera I'm working in, because I know how to adjust how I'm going to apply my makeup and technique. But brows is definitely something you want to really pay attention to. In how you shape them and how you color them. And
ooh,
this three-step technique that I have developed over the years, and actually it was an accidental coloring outside of the lines problem with me yesterday, but I tell you what, this three-step technique that I use really, really looked fantastic in that macro lens. But I hope I don't have to go through that again.
Right. Let me ask you, Suzanne, and I know that you don't, and I know you guys don't do this like every month or every quarter, but when is your next class for your HD University? Is it later in the year?
I did the last one in July, and we typically do it 2 to 3 times a year. And I did the last one in July. The next one will be in February, here in Washington, D.C. Yeah. That's the way my schedule's looking, because I keep the classes really small.
Mm-hmm.
For me to be able to, there's never more than 8 in the class, ever. So that is a class I'm personally comfortable with because everybody gets personal attention. I actually like to keep it at 6, but 8 is the absolute max. I will be teaching one at IMATS in Toronto. We are talking about, Graf Tobin and I are talking about doing one in Toronto, one of the one day before or after.
And Toronto, is that November or is
that's
that?
November. Uh-huh, that is November.
Gotcha.
Graf Tobin will have something to launch at the IMATS, and I can't say what it is, but they will be launching this at the IMATS in Toronto. But we will be doing a one-day version of HDMU, High Definition Makeup University, at the before and after classes. But really love teaching that class because it's so empowering, and artists really, when they come in and they get to work in a 1080p end-to-end format, so they see their technique, boom, right up on the 45-inch monitor.
Gotcha.
Very, very telling. obviously, now I wish I had this this whole getup that I worked in yesterday because it really rocked my world yesterday, and my assistants just had a tremendous time seeing that. And I was very, very, very humble and very, very good-natured about it, but, even the pros can go, oh, my God, what happened? I got to go in and fix that. But I will be wearing my 2.00 glasses from now on because my eyes are not seeing as good as they used to, I think. I swear I sent her off looking perfect. I honestly do, and I walked in and and they say, oh, gosh, you got to go fix the brown. I go, no, you're killing me. No. And sure enough, when I went and I looked in the monitor and that lens, it was like a glass sitting right on top of that lens, that brow magnifying. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I have gone outside the lines, haven't I?
Wow.
Oh, it was really an eye-opener. And, to think that these companies are dreaming up even more pixelated devices. It's just, I don't know what y'all are going to do. I'll be off retired.
And look,
and
we're not trying to retire anytime soon.
Oh, I am, yeah. Well, that's why I'm trying to pass it all off on you guys because.
We need to be at that university.
That's what I'm saying, exactly. We get our behinds in the HD university. So
that's
right. Be ready for this stuff.
It would be a delight to work with you guys for 2 days. It would be an absolute delight. But just, I share this whole experience with you because it really did, I went home feeling a little like, well, yeah. But you know what? The kids are going to be all right.
Exactly.
Y'all are going to be fine, as long as you know what's out there. As long as you know what you're up against. I wish I could
find
the entire population of makeup artists here in D.C. and gathered you all in and say, okay, you guys, look what just happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so you all could see what you got to polish towards. So, and not that anybody's technique is needing even if you think you do have the perfect brow, but there's just certain ways of dealing with color palettes. And I will tell you this, I definitely stayed in a neutral palette for the eyes. And every single artist has to have a good set of neutrals to work in. Because as you remember what I told you, the gospel rule for me in HD when doing an eye is never to do an eye that is stronger than the natural eye color.
Right.
I remember,
right.
And I tell you what, when I looked at the colors that I had chosen to do the eye through this lens, you know, that just drove home right there because they did look balanced. They were very pleasing and very balanced, and none of it was stronger, and I just stayed in the neutral. And it might seem that neutrals are very boring and uninteresting and unexciting, but you know what? In HD, when you're trying to do straight work, it is the backbone of your artistry skill. You need to be able to execute a really good neutral palette. You can be really, really highly creative in every other thing, but truly a good set of neutrals and having a good neutral palette that you can execute on any eye shape in HD, because eye shapes really affect how you do a palette on the eye. And the neutral palette is always safe, especially if you have a very small eye. Small eyes are not easy to pop in HD. And so you have to be very, very careful that you don't overpower them. Some people think, well, you know, I'll just do my, you know, my three-point color scheme. And you can't always do that. So you have to rely on how well that you can balance that small range of neutrals on that eye shape, because it really does make a difference. It really does. Eye shapes do make a huge difference, because if they're very small or if they're very hooded, that really affects the lighting. And, you know, we talked about the eye light. Do you remember when we talked about the eye light? That's used to give life into the eyes, and oftentimes we'll see that on a corporate shoot or even a political shoot. It's pretty prevalent here in the D.C. area. I don't know about the rest of the country, but even that, when you have that eye light, you want your eye palette to be as smooth and as clean as possible. Doing eye makeup for HD is not the most exciting thing in the world, but it's the most technical you will ever do.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me on that. It is the most technical.
And what's more boring and unexciting is not working.
Well, video is the backbone of the industry. And it is, if you've got a TV antenna in Podunk, Tennessee, you've got video. And somewhere somebody needs video makeup. So you can be in a small town, and you're going to find that video is the industry, is what drives the industry there. So, it's always the backbone of the industry. Yes, you're always going to have film, and you're always going to have fashion, and you're always going to have all the other fields of makeup and special effects, but video, for me, is what pays my bills. And so I appreciate it. I love it. I embrace it. I learn it. I polish towards it because it is all that I do. It's all that I do. And in this D.C. area, it's video-driven. It is hugely video-driven.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Bureau for Video. So having a good, strong technical ability to do makeup for video for HD is boring as it might be, because a lot of people call it boring and uninteresting, but it is very, very technical. But if you do it really, really well, and crews know that you do it really, really well, that you're a standalone professional in that, you work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, with that being said, we have completely
run with it. I'm sorry, I talked too much here, but it was a delight. It's been about a month, I think, since I've last.
Yeah, I know, right? We've missed you.
So I really appreciate it very much. I appreciate the time to talk with you all and share all these things that are going on. And
a lot of times
all of that, we got to share it. So. So you all know that when you run into, oh, I heard about that, Suzanne's misfortune, yes. Well, I'm prepared now.
Exactly.
You're going to see more HD SLRs. You really are going to see more and more and more of them. They are extremely hot. And when the producers of House made that decision to shoot the season finale completely and then transfer it to 35, that was like, okay, it's no longer a bastard child, it's legitimate, you know. And all the high-end production companies, and this was a high-end production company I worked with yesterday, I mean, he was there, he had his light panels, and that's it, LEDs. Goodbye light banks. LED light banks are what's coming on. And they have a completely different color tonality than the traditional lulls that we've been working with, the light banks that we, you know, the long tubes that we work with. Everybody, it's amazing how things are just morphing. So it was like the latest and the greatest on this set yesterday. And you're going to be seeing more and more HDSLRs. You really are.
Wow.
Because they can shoot. What they love about it is that not only do they shoot the video, but you can shoot a series of stills within the video. And, you know, that just gets over my head. It just gets completely over my head. But this is something that I've been hearing the buzz from the regular production companies that I work with. Well, we're going to be incorporating HDSLRs, and I've talked to at least 3 or 4 other production companies that are switching to that simply for those capabilities. And the fact that the lenses are so completely interchangeable with the bodies that they can get these insanely close shots. It's just more than I can handle, but it's the way it's going.
So technology's moving right along. So we.
It really is moving right along, and that's probably part of the reason why I keep my hand just in a couple of shoots a month, just so that I can stay in this experience and stay relevant to teaching. Because when I stop doing it completely is the day that I'm completely on to something else, I think, for the store. So running the store, but it's what's coming up. It's what's happening now.
Wow.
Thank you, Suzanne. That was awesome. Unbelievable.
Yeah. It's just my pleasure, ladies, really. And I appreciate sharing with you, and I will talk to you next time.
And I will see you at HD University very, very soon. I mean, soon. I am determined.
Well, it would be great. It would be great to have you, and we do. It's a lot of information. You talk to anybody who's been through the class, it is. They walk away a little bit overloaded, but, you know, the brain's a wonderful thing because it does have recall. Even though it seems oversaturated, and I have students that call me up, oh, yeah, I remember that now. I didn't think I would remember it, but somehow it's stuck in my brain because we tend to teach things in layers, and that's the way the brain likes to work in layers. So we teach according to the way the brain actually learns. So when you learn them in steps and layers, the recall is easier. So that's a holdover from my aerospace instruction days, I think.
Good to know. I love the technical stuff. I look forward to it.
I would love for more artists to embrace that. I really would love for more artists to embrace the technical aspects of makeup instead of just coming through the front door and gathering it all up and thinking that they know with no back-ended backdoor roots. Because HD just isn't going to allow you to do that anymore. It really isn't. So I'm hoping that more artists embrace the technical aspects of what we do as makeup artists. And that's really the only reason I teach, is to try and provide that. And there's not a lot of interest. It seems like it's really waning off. And I'm hoping that will change. But that's kind of the way it is. And it's kind of a shame in some ways, and I'm really hoping that artists wake up and realize before a lot of us old-timers stop teaching that they will take advantage of us as much as they possibly can and what we know, so that it gets carried on. It needs to be carried on and not lost.
And if that happens, then wouldn't that ultimately result in the whole industry of makeup artistry being damaged, because that would bring in a whole generation of people who were unprepared, and it will start showing up So there goes reputation.
Well, you know what it will really do is that it will push it more towards a post-correction thing than an organically done craft. Because if there aren't makeup artists that can do it correctly, then what they'll do is that they'll just let the technology take it over and fix it. And I can't tell you how many times that I've when I've looked in camera and I look and I see, okay, he slipped the skin chip on. Take that thing off. You know, I don't need the skin chip. And they just automatically turn it on because they've been with too many artists that don't know their craft. And I can tell immediately if they're trying to color correct in the camera. And I just asked them to turn it off. I said, you don't need it. All you need to do is, and being able to descend the lighting on your talent. So you don't want your makeup fixed in camera, nor do you want it fixed in post. And that's ultimately what will happen if, and this is just my opinion, and I could just be way off the wall, but I really believe that's if we don't stay technically grounded, and maybe the young artists are thinking, oh, you know, color theory is too hard, or lighting's too hard, or knowing about the camera's too hard. Well, it's we all had to learn it. We all had to understand it. We all had to work through it to become better artists. We had to tackle the hard along with the fun part, you know, the beauty part, the playing in makeup part. The playing in makeup means that you've got to learn advanced color theory. You really do have to know it. You've got to be able to know how camera works in grayscale. You've got to be able to work in grayscale. Everything goes through grayscale in camera. Everything we do goes through grayscale. And you need to understand it. You need to be able to work with it. You need to be able to know how your colors are balanced through grayscale. There's just so much to it that it might sound hard, but if you're working with someone that can explain it to you and show you and put you in a laboratory to let you see how it all comes together, then it does. Then it registers. The brain learns it, and it becomes a part of your technique and your skill.
Mm-hmm.
But there's very few of us out there that are doing this because it takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of effort, and it takes a lot of care about the youngsters coming up and handing this off, and there's a few of us that do care about that. And you know, I'm kind of maybe rattling on here, but for good reason, because I feel very passionate about being able to impart all of this technology that's not hard to people to the artists that need this. They need this, that they can't have holes in their fundamental skills platform, and these would be holes in their fundamental skills platform that they wouldn't be able to polish through.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't want them to have the reputation of, oh, her work has to be fixed in post. And I do know, you know, there are people, artists that I do know that whose work has to be fixed in post.
Right.
So, anyway. I just don't want it to get to that point, and I think that everyone, and there is this phenomena of internet learning. It's just, I probably get an email once a week to some site that has found my email address to learn how to be a makeup artist and be degreed in it through the internet.
Mm-hmm.
How can this happen? You can't have a complete full-up skill without some kind of laboratory interface. It just can't be done.
Right.
Cannot be done. I just think that is something that will always, and then like Kevin pointed out, you know, you can't learn to be a steel worker on the internet. You have to touch and see and feel and melt that steel and rebend it and shape it into something that looks like something it's supposed to be.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of the long and the short of it. you know, and Sarah has a tremendous lighting class that she launched, which is a part of HDMU, and it's really, really helps you really back in. She's just done some phenomenal things in there, and I'm hoping that it really takes off for her because it's just so unique. It's just a very, very unique class.
And
so we're doing all we can.
Give us the website that we need to pay attention to when we want to find out more information about the HD University.
Well, it would be on my website. Just go to SuzannePatterson.com. That's the easiest way to find it. Yeah, and then there's a link on the left-hand menu that says High Definition.
Okay.
And that's where it's all there. But anyway, probably have gone on longer than. But I've missed talking to you girls, and it's been a busy summer, I'm sure, for everyone. So I'm hoping I'll see you again in October for our next segment.
Oh, my goodness. You said October, and I'm thinking, like, it's so far away, and here we are, and getting ready to go into the next second week of September.
Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely.
Oh, is it?
Yep.
That's right. We're not at the end of September. Where my mind has been, my head's been, because I try to do this every 2 weeks with you guys. It's my
right.
I guess we were talking about then the 25th then. No.
So we'll be back on the 23rd.
Right. Yeah.
23rd. Okay. So we will chat with you on the 23rd of September.
Sounds good. Sorry to be so overboard here, ladies, but I enjoyed it and just have
problem.
A lot of for really helping people and especially up-and-coming artists. I have a real passion for up-and-coming artists, so this is why we do what we do.
Good for you.
You guys are awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, and thank you for coming on.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
See you soon.
I just want to say to the callers who are still left on the line, next week's guest is celebrity manicurist Melissa Bozant, and she'll be here to discuss the fall 2010 nail trends, what's new in nail care and nail products. So stay tuned for that, or come back, rather, for that conversation with Melissa Bozant.
Is she on Twitter?
Yes, she is, and that may just be her Twitter name. And her last name is spelled Bozant. She happens to be a friend of mine. She's in L.A., and she works with a lot of celebs, doing a lot of print work. But she'll be here to chat with us next week, so I'm looking forward to that.
Cool.
Yes.
Very cool.
Something a little different for Beauty Talk. I don't think we've ever had a manicurist on, so it'll be good to kind of go that direction next week.
Awesome.
So everybody come back. If you enjoyed tonight's show, please go out and mark it as a favorite. You can send us your comments at illusionsbeauty@gmail.com or info@illusionsbeauty.com or hit us up on Twitter at illusionsbeauty. Don't forget to go to YouTube and check out the Beauty Talk web series and the sizzle reel is out there. Episode number 2 is coming very, very soon. We have some really exciting episodes coming up. Lots of information, so just stay tuned to that. Tell everyone else about it. Go out, watch it every day if you want. But the big thing is I just want people to spread the word about it. Just let everybody, you know about it. They don't have to be makeup artists or hairstylists or part of the beauty industry, but just tell everybody about it. And also, it's not just something for just makeup artists. I mean, our very first show, we are speaking with a hairstylist. So, you know, it's all about beauty. Come check it out. You will see in the near future some, even some celeb interviews where we sit down with a couple actresses and speak about beauty and the beauty industry and entertainment and how they all connect. So stay tuned. We've got some exciting stuff going on and some exciting news to share about the Beauty Talk web series coming soon. I won't say anything now, but coming soon. So stick around for that. Thank you all. Thank you, Jennifer, for filling in, doing such a wonderful job, as always.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
And we'll have to get my sister to come on when she comes back on next week. She's going to have to tell us all about this Paul Walker.
Yes,
Fast and Furious.
Don't have me flying in to see my
friend. Right. Exactly. So with all of that being said, I thank everyone for listening and for those who stayed on even when we kind of stopped streaming, but for those who stayed on the phone, thanks for hanging around with us. And for all those who were in the chat room tonight, thank you. For those who were on the BBM chat with my sister, even though she was working, she was on her BlackBerry, but don't tell anybody. Thank you guys for hanging out with us as well. And as always, you can find us on Twitter or Facebook and, you know, anywhere in between. So we will chat with you guys next week. Take care and have a great night.
See you guys.
All right. Good night.